Blog Talk Radio.
I am excited. God is good. I'm just grateful to be a child of God. Grateful to be a child of God. I love God, and I know He loves me. And so this word today is a right now, right on time word. You know, as we in America are getting ready to celebrate Labor Day and all it entails, parades, and I guess you would say the beginning of political crazy season, all of that starts this weekend. But the Word of God this morning is simply telling us that we need to learn to be reasonable, that God is reasonable. And we need to be reasonable. So many times we're ready to argue about everything. You know, the sky is blue. No, the sky is a little gray today. Well, the water is a little high. No, it's flooding. Oh, you know, I don't believe in COVID. Well, there's people dying. Well, I'm not wearing a mask because it's my right. But, oh. But you better not try to have an abortion because I get to tell you what to do with your body. And I'm not a pro-choice person, but I believe that there are decisions that are between a person and God. And we as mankind have decided to play God in so many instances. And we need to be careful because we are not taking care of each other. We're not loving God, even though we claim to love God. You know, it's amazing how there are folks that love to talk about the Constitution and their rights to freedom, but love to dictate what other people do in their lives, which is a hypocrite. I am pro-life. I will say it. But I also am pro-God and believe that everyone will stand before God and whatever a person's choices may be. If you choose to have an abortion, that's between you and God. If you choose to get drunk, if you choose to use drugs, if you choose to be promiscuous, if you choose to be an adulterous, cheating, fine ball, that's your choice than any other sin, because sin is sin. So as we dictate somebody else's sin, we may need to do some self-evaluating of our sins. So I am a firm believer that God is in charge of everything because he created everything. And as a reader of the word, I have not found abortion listed as a sin in this word. I've seen murder, and if you want to classify it as that, then we can do that. But right up there with that murder is thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not worship idols. But there's only one God, right? We as people of God have learned to need to learn to reason, need to learn to speak the truth, and need to look folks in the eye and say, as you legislate one sin, legislate them all. Because it's amazing how the adulterer gets caught and his girlfriend, not his wife, then he's ready to get an abortion because then his sin is going to come out into the light. So I'm just saying, again, I'm pro-life. I believe that God created life and only God can take life. So I am against abortion. I am against adultery. And I am against the death penalty. So I'm sure I'm causing controversy, but I believe that if life is life, we've got to treat it as such. And I say to all those out there who claim to be pro-life, who claim to love God, when that child comes into this world, I don't want to hear you talk about decreasing the safety nets that keep these children alive after they get in. I don't want to hear you talk about that they are welfare queen because they chose life over death. So don't tell me that that young woman or that family, they're just having babies to be on the till. No, they're pro-life. And as such, we need to help them. Because if you're pro-life, be willing to stand up and say, I will help the less fortunate, just as God told us to. I will not allow babies to be in cages because they don't look like me. I will treat my fellow man the way I would like to be treated and the way I would want my children treated. Because I will tell you this, as someone who lost a child through miscarriage, there is nothing harder than to lose a child. And so every life is precious, and we should treat it as such. Because as you stand in judgment, but yet you don't want to wear a mask to keep your neighbor safe, as you stand in judgment and call people who were vaccinated, those that have taken the mark of the beast, oh, yeah. Well, I tell you to do some self-evaluation when you are laying in a bed with a ventilator down your throat and begging God for a vaccination, then it's too late. As you allow your child to go to school and spread COVID all over the school system because your child doesn't need to wear a mask. Your family doesn't need to do this or your family doesn't need to do that. If you love somebody, keep them protected and be reasonable. Because, again, individually have to stand before God. We all have to stand before God. nobody can send you to hell. And nobody can allow you into heaven. Only God can. And what God gave me this morning to say is this. When God speaks through his prophetic words, we need to be inquiring minds and listen. Throughout the book of Isaiah, which we will be reading today, we start a new book. God spoke through this major prophet. Jesus read his words and was the fulfillment of such. God spoke in his word, let us reason together. God is not the author of confusion and foolishness. Each of us need to do some self-evaluation. We need to ask ourselves, do I come with a reasonable heart of God, or do I create chaos and known for being unreasonable? Something to think about as we celebrate Labor Day with friends and family. And our word scripturally for this morning is this. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, New King James Version. And that is our scripture for this morning that our word will be based on. But we will be finishing up the Song of Solomon this morning. And we will have Psalms. And then we will be in Isaiah this morning. So Isaiah is our main word for today. And let's get into it. And let us pray. Father God in heaven, as we get ready to travel this weekend, the highways and the byways, Father God, I ask for traveling grace and mercy to cover those going to visit friends and family. Father God, I pray that chaos is left behind wherever it is, that there will not be family arguments. There will not be people dying over the weekend from misunderstandings about this group of people versus that group of people, the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, the Republican versus the Democrat, the I love God versus, I don't believe there's a God. Lord, we're asking you to leave chaos behind. But you are reasonable. You are good. You are kind. You are a loving and gracious Father. And Father, I'm asking that this weekend be a weekend of love, that there be no super spreading events, that no one dies this weekend from COVID or from any other ailment, that those that are sick can get well, and those that are well will stay well. Father God, I'm asking in the name of Christ Jesus to lift up this planet as so many are suffering, Lord. So many are suffering from flooding and hurricanes and earthquakes and war and rumors of war and authoritarian nations with Sharia laws and all the things that are not like you, God, where those that make laws with selfish intent and spirits of control and dominance over those that are weaker than them. Father God, I lift up leaders in this world today. And you, Lord God, to give them hearts with reasonable hearts and hearts of love and hearts of compassion for their constituents. Father God, I ask you to be in charge of life and liberty. And Lord God, that those that pursue happiness with you in mind and love for their neighbor and their heart and with love for you. Lord God, as America celebrates this Labor Day and we get into all the political rhetoric and all the craziness, I ask you, Lord God, to give your people discernment of the right and the wrong of everything and not be so ingrained in political parties and nonsense, but be ingrained in you. Father God, I lift up our pastors as they preach words of love and unity of the body of Christ, that you give them strength, oh God, that you guide them in what to say and how to say it. And Father God, we ask you to increase as we decrease. Lord God, let your light shine in us that those that see your believers, your children, will know that they are people who trust in God and know that God is in charge and that they love Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they are worshipers, believers, and praisers. Father God, may families come together in love over this weekend and over the course of their life. Father God, we are asking you to remove the evil one and his chaos from the midst of families' gatherings, that there will not be confusion, but there will be love and kindness and goodness and mercy, and that you will be the center of all gatherings. Father God, I lift up your word today. May it be a balm in Gilead, soothing the souls of those that hear it, that they know that you are love, that you are the love of a husband to a wife, that you are the love of a shepherd to a sheep, that 99.5 will not do. 99 won't do, that you will find the one lost sheep to make up that 100. That you will find us as we seek you. The more we seek you, Lord God, the more we will find you. And so, Father, I lift up this word again, asking you, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, that it will be acceptable in your sight. For, Lord God, you are my strength and redeemer. And I, your humble daughter, ask you to increase as I decrease. In the name of the matchless and wonderful Savior, my friend, Jesus Christ, your son, my brother, who loves me and stands in the gap for me every day, it's in his name that I pray, believing and trusting you, Lord God. Increase as we decrease. To show and pour your love out over this boy, that those that seek you will find you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The more we seek him, the more we will find him. The more we find him, the more we will love him. But there is no God like the one that created the heavens and the earth and all therein. We are special to be been created by God. And that's why life is important, because every life has a purpose under heaven. But again, call a sin a sin. And those that create the most are the ones that do the most. Be careful as you follow in line with sinners and those that want to be judges of everybody but never take self-evaluations. We got to do some self-evaluating, but above all things, we got to love each other. And so let's get into this husband and wife love affair between the Shulamites and her beloved. And it says this, Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and 6. I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. And that is one of those looking things. Look it up. My sister, my spouse, look it up. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. to his friends, eat, oh friends, drink, yes, drink deeply, oh beloved ones. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my son, my love, my dove, my perfect one. And, you know, I believe, this is my belief, that the interpretation of this word is my friend, my best friend. You know, our sisters, our brothers should be our best friends. And your husband should be your best friend. You know, he's like a brother to me. No, he's my best friend. And so that's just my interpretation, that he's saying my love, you know, my beloved, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. But my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hand dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handle of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Is God your beloved? This morning, are you looking for him? The watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls, they took my veil away from me. I charge you, O daughter of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am lovesick. The daughters of Jerusalem, what is your beloved more than another beloved? Our fairest among women, what is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? The Shulamites, my beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of water washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory, inlaid with sapphires. His legs are stools of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedar. His mouth is most sweet, yet he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughter of Jerusalem. The daughters of Jerusalem, chapter 6, verse 1. Where has your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside? What, that we may seek him with you? The Shulamite, my beloved, has gone to his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed his flock in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies, the beloved. Oh, my love, you are as beautiful as Sarza, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. Turn your eyes away from me, for they have overcome me. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Gilead. Your teeth are like the flock of sheep which have come up from the washing. Everyone bears twins, and none is barren among them. Like a piece of pomegranate are your temples behind your veil. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother, the favorite of the one who bore her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed, the queens and the concubines, and they praise her. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? The Shulamite. I went down to the garden of nuts to see the verdure of the valley, to see whether the vine had budded and the pomegranates had bloomed. Before I was even aware, my soul had made me as a cherub of my noble people, the beloved of his friends. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon you, the Shulamite. What would you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the dance of the two. Chapter 7 to chapter 8, verse 14. Chapter 7, verse 1 of Song of Solomon, the beloved. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughter. The curves of your thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a skillful workman. Your navel is a rounded goblet. It lacks no blended beverage. Your waist is a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes like the pools in Hezbah by the gate of death robbing. Your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which looks toward Damascus. Your head crowns you like Mount Carmel, and the hair of your head is like purple. A king is held captive by your traces. How fair and how pleasant you are, O love, with your delight. This statue of yours is like a palm tree, and your breast like its clusters. I said I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of its branches. Let now your breath be like clusters of the vine, the fragrance of your breath like apples, and the roof of your mouth like the best wine. Like, okay, whew, where's my fan? I'm just kidding. You know, this is like, oh, wow, okay. But that's why this is a relationship book. I say that those that read this book, to be a relationship book. It should be with husbands and wives. You know, you talk about, I always like say it's time to get lovey-dovey. But I love this, you know, the in 10 words, you know, from my Know Your Bible, little, I call it my little book of quick knowledge. And it says, married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. The Song of Solomon in 10 words or less. Married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. And I love this word, and let's keep going. As we finish up this word this morning, we finish up this book today. And it says, the wine goes down smoothly for my beloved, moving gently the lips of sleepers. I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved. Let us go forth to the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards, and let us see if the vine has budded, whether the grape blossoms are open and the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrake gives off a fragrance, and at our gates are pleasant fruit, all manner new and old, which I have laid up for you, my beloved. Oh, that you were like my brother who nursed at my mother's breast. If I should find you outside, I would kiss you. I would not be despised. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, who used to instruct me. I would cause you to drink of spiced wine, of the juice of my pomegranate. To the daughters of Jerusalem, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases a relative. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I awakened you under the apple tree. There your mother brought you forth. There she who bore you brought you forth. The Shulamite. To our beloved, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as the grave. It flames are flames of fire, a most venomous flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If the man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. The Shulamite's brothers, we have a little sister, and she has no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she is spoken for? If she is a wall, we will build upon her a battlement of silver, and if she is a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. The Shulamite, I am a wall in my breast like towers. Then I became in his eyes as one who found peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He leased a vineyard to keepers. Everyone was to bring for its fruit 1,000 silver coins. To Solomon, my own vineyard is before me. You, O Solomon, may have 1,000, and those who tend its fruit 200. The beloved, you who dwell in the gardens, the companions, listen for your voice. Let me hear it, the Shulamite. Make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. And we're going to go back and get some life lessons morning from Dr. Stanley. And verse 5, chapter 5, verse 16. This is my beloved and this is my friend. How many marriages fall apart because the spouses forget to nurture their friendship along with their romance? All important relationships are first good friendships, and that includes the one we have with God. And as many know, I've said this on many occasions on this blog and on this show, that marriage starts best with friendship. You know, so many times folks are ready to hop in bed before they even know each other's names barely. And there's no relationship but a lust relationship. And then they get married because the lust was good. And wonder why it doesn't work, because you don't know each other. You're not friends. You know, the best marriages are marriages based on friendship first. He was my friend. She was my friend. I can tell you, there was no way on this earth I thought I was going to marry my husband. I was 13 years old when I met him, and he was 17. So there was nothing, nobody thinking about marriage. We were just friends. We were pen pals, actually. And I thought of him as a big brother, you know, giving me good advice. You know, that guy that you like in high school, he is not for you. Not understanding that he was just setting up the friendship for marriage later. I was used to tease him, say, you know you was a stalker. You know, but this man, as a teenager, 17 years old, wrote a letter to my parents asking permission to write to me while he was in school. Because I was going into the ninth grade. He was in college. And I tell you this, you know, he was my friend. That was it. There was no relationship. There was no funny business. There was nothing, but he was my friend, Jeff. And we wrote to each other. And he gave me good advice about getting good grades and, you know, staying in school and you know, having plans for college and doing things with my life, and, you know. And he would compliment me on the fact that I was in church and being involved in my community. You know, he told me things like, I'm really proud of you and all that you're accomplishing. And I would tell him my grades and, you know, and you know, he would tell me about his fraternity. I had never heard anything about fraternities and sororities. But he was in a fraternity, and, you know, he was a good person. But he was my friend. And that's what I said. And this is what it says. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Solomon 6 and 3. And it says, husbands and wives do not own each other, but they do belong to each other in an exclusive way that no one else can share Adulterer is an ugly word in any language in heaven as on earth. God states God has already made marriage special. When a man, it says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. Wife. It doesn't say side piece, it doesn't say girlfriend. It says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor with the Lord. This is a word for husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives as God loves the church. We got to love as men and women of God. God wants husbands to love their wives. And this is what it says. Dr. Stanley wrote this in A Life Question. The notion of true love dominates much of popular culture. We purchase cards, shop for gifts, play romantic outings with our cherished ones in mind. God himself places a high value on love, 1 Corinthians 13:13, which we will be reading on Sunday, and delights in expressing his wonderful love to us. Much of the time, however, we don't feel love, do we? Sin has spoiled our capacity to understand God's love, to receive his love, and to love him in return. Thank God for our Savior, Jesus Christ, has redeemed this problem by liberating us from the power of sin and providing us with a new nature. We can now understand at least a little our Heavenly Father's wonderful love for us. Divine love is unconditional. He showers us with it, regardless of who we are, where we have been, or what mistakes we have made. What matters to the Lord is that we belong to him. His love for us is also obsolete. It never wavers or varies and knows no limitations. It also seeks our best, helping us to grow into the likeness of Jesus. Even when God disciplines us, he does so as a loving father. How much we are loved and accepting God's love, God accepting God's love for us, frees us to live and love God's way. By loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we find the wisdom and power to love our neighbors in return. My pastor spoke on this last night. We got to love each other. It says, what does loving God look like? Loving God means spending time deepening our relationship with Jesus and submitting to him. We love him when we give ourselves wholeheartedly to knowing him and learning what pleases him. We express our love when we obey him. The word of God also tells us that when we love others, we are loving Jesus, Matthew 25:40. Loving others God's way means we will pursue God's best for them. Can y'all say it with me? We will pursue God's best for them. We will ask God to show us what we can say and do on behalf of others. We will seek to answer the question, how can I build them up and help them grow into Christ's likeness? When we love people in obedience to God, we will find ourselves looking for ways to express God's love for them. Love demonstrates that we belong to Jesus, created to be lovers of God and others. Dear child of God, won't you receive God's outpouring of love today? Wow, Dr. Stanley is preaching in the house this morning. And as we continue this love word, it says this, Song of Solomon, chapter 8:6, set me as a seal upon your heart. True devotion begins in the heart and works its way out in loving expressions involving the rest of the body. Spouses want and need all of each other, and God wants the same thing. Hallelujah. God just wants us to love each other. He wants us to love him, and he wants us to love each other. And our psalm word for this morning is this, Psalm 104:24-30. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. this great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is the Leviathan, which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. Open your hand, they are filled with goods. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their bread, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. And Dr. Stanley says, in verse 24 of 104 of the book of Psalms, it says, how manifold are your works in wisdom. You have made them all. The creation reveals a God with a vast intellect that we cannot begin to comprehend. Our best scientists must regularly revise their theories to try to explain what he created, and he puts all his wisdom at our service. What a word. What a God we serve. Psalms 104, verse 31 through 35. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his work. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah is what I say. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for the glory that only you can give. Hallelujah. Psalms 105, verses 1 through 6. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, chosen ones. And a life lesson from our Psalms word. And it is this. Psalms 105, seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face forevermore. Since God is infinite, we will never run out of new and surprising territory to explore regarding his character and nature. The great adventure of seeking God and his ways will continue over whole lives. That's a word. We must seek God, and we must seek him with our whole heart. But God is love, and love is God. Now let's get into our word for this morning, and we are coming out of Isaiah, starting in chapter 1, and it says this. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The oxen knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and pure petrifying sores. Putrid. Yes, is what it's saying. It's just nasty. They have not been clothed or bound up or soothed with ointment. The country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, unless the Lord of hosts had left a very small remnant. We would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together. That's our word for this morning, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderous. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princesses are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloys. I will restore your judges as the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together. And those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the terrible trees which you have desired. And you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as a therapist whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tender, and the work of it as a spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. Revelations before Revelations. Chapter 2 of Isaiah. A major prophet. Hallelujah. And it says, the word of Isaiah, son of Amoz, says, thou concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. People bow down, and each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, upon all the oak of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful slopes. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rock and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. When he arises to shake the earth mightily, in that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats, to go into the cliffs of the rock and into the crags of the rugged rock, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils. Of what account is he? And thus says the word of God this morning. And a few life lessons from Isaiah. Wow. That's all I can say. It's wow. And this is the word. It says, come now and let us reason together. Dialogue builds relationships. Genuine prayer has all of the qualities and characteristics of a deeply meaningful conversation between two people. The image of God and man sitting down together for a good talk is our best image of prayer. When we pray, we talk to God, just like we're talking to each other today. When we pray, we have conversations with God, because I tell you, he will answer. And I tell you this, don't play with God. Too many people play church. And church is a building. But God is in your heart. And when you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The house that's serving God is you. Are you serving him today? Or are you haughty and will be brought low? We got to serve God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in this life lesson, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. He will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his paths. God designed a life of faith to be a community affair. He teaches us his ways so that we can walk in his paths. If you're trying to go it alone in your faith, you'll never grow as God wants you to. I can speak on that. When you are not in the company of other believers, and you think, I know this, I know that, because I read the Bible, study the Word. But without someone to talk with, without someone to go over it with, yes, you can read the Word. Yes, you can get commentary from Romans and all the other Concordia and Encyclopedia of the Bible to understand the theological things that are out there. But to have that relationship, that one-on-one, that, you know, where two or three gather in my name, I will be a God in the midst. Atmosphere. We have to have that. We need to be in the company of believers. But understand that the sneaky snake slithers in too. Because he slithered into heaven. He slithers into the church. And we got to cut off his ugly head when it tries to cause confusion. All you got to say is not today, Satan. And we have to have that attitude. And it goes on to say in Isaiah 2:17, the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The Lord wants to bless us for our obedience, not discipline us for our disobedience. He urges us to turn from our sin and follow him so that he can do good to us. However, the day is coming when human pride and arrogance will be smashed forever, and the entire world will acknowledge that God alone rules. As followers of Christ, we can anticipate that day by willingly humbling ourselves. Praise the Lord. And we have to do that. We have to trust God and be there for each other. Love your neighbor today. As you go into this Labor Day weekend, again, I say, think about the safety of those that are with you. I understand that they are your family. But if they have not been vaccinated, wear a mask. Wear a mask. It's a little thing that will keep you and them safe. And understand, flu season is coming. Wear a mask. It protects you. It really does. I can speak that as a person who's dealt with bronchial and sinuses and all those issues dealing with breathing and all those things. Not being able to talk because you can't hardly breathe. And this is way before COVID. And having to go and get shots to open your lungs. Having to use inhalers because you can't breathe. Not asthma. But just your bronchial tubes decide to act ugly. And you get bronchitis. I tell you this, that mask saved me. I felt better during the pandemic than I have felt in all the years before because I wore a mask. So don't let anybody make you feel bad about wearing your mask this weekend as you go to family gatherings. As you do what you do, wear your mask. And wear it with faith that God put it over your face too. And this is what our sister said this morning, Sister Carolyn. Let us go. Let go of what was and have faith in what will be. God is more for you than what you have had before. Have a faith-filled, fighting family. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend in America. I thank God for each and every one of you, and as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray for you as you pray for me. Let us continue to love each other as God loves us, as brothers and sisters, as family and friends. Love each other this week. Love each other today. Love each other tomorrow. Love each other and care about others. Or do you care about yourself? Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Join me on Sunday, God willing, as we study 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And do I sound giddy? Yes, I am, because we don't talk about love. Have a blessed day, family. I love you all. Have a great weekend and have a great day. Be blessed. It's a wrap.